At this time of year, it has been my habit to turn away from whatever book we study, in this case Acts, and turn to a seasonal message of the time of year which deals with Christmas. Christmas is so very familiar to a lot of you. The familiar songs, the familiar gathering of family, the traditions that we all have, it is so well known to us. So I decided today, because every preacher will give you the singing angels and the to do something different. Because Dave is different. Some are recognizing that more and more. I want to talk about the mystery of Christmas. There is a great mystery to Christmas in what is so familiar to us. There is much more that goes on than what the holiday reveals to us. And it actually connects to what we were talking about last week, connects to what we were talking about today. So let's go back to where God announces the first time of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go back. Let's uncover some of the mysteries of Christmas that the holiday obscures and we don't see. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and we want to look at verse 15, which is called, are you ready for this? The first gospel message. This is where what we celebrate Tuesday has its great foundational roots. You live in a world that is a great mystery. Whether you may realize it or not, there has been a tremendous mystery that has been going on for longer than we know, longer than creation. Sometime, if I can even use that word, somewhere in the past, if I can use that word, God created everything. What created God? He was always there. Man, try to put your mind around that one. God has no creator. He always existed. He is outside of time. And everything that is in this, whatever this is due to God. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in John that it was Jesus, God, very God, who created the ages, everything you see. But there's a great mystery involved. Not only did God create man, but God created not only this physical world, but sometime in the past, before this physical world, God created powerful spiritual beings. We can call them angels. Did God have to have creation? No, He's self-sufficient in Himself, but for some reason God wanted to create the world. And before He created the world, as best we can tell, He created countless spiritual beings known as angels. The word angel just simply means messengers. They are God's servants who perform service to Him. But something odd happened. Some great mystery. An angel who was God's greatest creation, the most beautiful, the pinnacle of a created being, rebelled. When did that happen, Dave? We don't know. It was before, we think, before creation. Why did he rebel, Dave? No. Some people think Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 tell us, but some theologians don't think that that's about that greatest angel. So we're presented with a mystery. Somewhere before man, one of God's or God's greatest creatures decided that he would go his own way. From what we understand, he took a lot of those angels with him. And there has been a conflict in the universe for time that we don't know how long. You say, what does this have to do with Christmas Day? Well, we'll tell you. God, at that time, has man in mind and creates Adam and Eve. As a matter of fact, some people speculate, it may be true, that that greatest angel found out that God planned to create physical creatures known as man and glorify them greater than that angel, the greatest of creations, was. And the original sin might have been jealousy and pride. We don't know. God created man, placed him on earth, and that angel, or whatever that creature was, out of jealousy and pride, decided to spoil what God had done. And in Genesis, right after God created man, Adam and Eve, by the way, Adam in Hebrew, if I remember, means red. Some people think that Adam had red hair. I don't know. A very great mystery happens. In the perfect world of the garden, that angel, that fallen angel, despoils God's creation by taking Adam and Eve and have them join in his rebellion against God. and man falls from paradise. By the way, that's our great, 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 great grandparents. We all go back to the same two parents. If Genesis 1 through 11 isn't true, close your Bibles and do something else. Paul says in Romans 5 that Christ is the second Adam that God sent to correct this rebellion that has been going on since time began. That's weird. And in Genesis 3:15, God talks about what He's going to do in this rebellion, and it is the seed of the gospel, the foundation. And He tells to that serpent, by the way, it wasn't a snake. We don't know what this creature was. There's another mystery. It's interesting that Greek pottery always has snakes and things wound around trees with pictures of what we think may be Adam and Eve. There's a primitive remembrance of this in many cultures. And He says that He will put enmity or hostility between Satan or you, the fallen angel, and the woman. There is why Christmas happened. For the story of Christmas really reveals a great mystery. That God, through sending His Son, is correcting what that fallen angel attempted to do. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Now you notice another mystery. Did you know that there's the seed of the woman, which results in Christ, the Messiah? And did you know that there's a seed of a woman that results in another family, the seed of, are you ready? The seed of the devil. There is where John gets his idea of two families. Those who do righteousness and those who do evil. So there are two spiritual families now that form because of this mysterious rebellion. One would be the seed of a woman that would result in the Savior Jesus Christ, but another family is in this world, which is the seed of the serpent or Satan. Now you see why. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4, what we just read this morning. Why do you think the Sanhedrin did not like the name of Jesus and told them, don't you dare pronounce the name of Jesus because it scared the bejeebies out of them? Now why do you think? Well, now you know. There are two spiritual families because of this fall in the world. Those who follow the seed of the woman, which will be the Messiah, and those who follow the seed of the serpent or Satan. So who would not like the name of Jesus Christ? Tell me. The seed of the serpent. Why do you think Hollywood and the elites hate the name of Jesus? Huh? And want to get rid of anything. I think they would have crushed Christmas by now. You know why I think they haven't been able to crush or won't crush Christmas right now? Because they make money. or the seed of the serpent would have crushed Christmas long ago. Why do you think there's such hostility toward the Lord Jesus? It goes back to this great mystery. The seed of the serpent is unnerved by the name of Jesus and the seed of the woman. I believe the seed, who do you think would be the ultimate seed of the serpent? I can't prove it, but who do you think would be the ultimate seed of the serpent? The coming Antichrist. If the seed of the woman resulted in the Messiah, I believe the seed of the serpent will eventually result in the substitute Messiah, which you see in Revelation. That eventually, in trying to counteract what God did, Satan will raise up at some time this rebelling angel, the seed of the serpent, which will find its ultimate expression in the beast. So we see now, because of this is a great mystery, two spiritual families, the seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman, which results in Messiah. By the way, that also tells you why seed is so important. Somebody read for me to keep you awake this morning. 1 Peter 1. Whoop, I better stay awake this morning. I've got to find it. 1 Peter 1. It's thank you, 123. Thank you, Willie. I almost wanted to go to 13, but it was 23. Willie's going to read, now you understand verse 23. Read it, of 1 Peter.
And be born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
See, the seed of the woman results in Christ, but that's why the Bible gets this idea that when you're born again, you have an implanted seed. You become part of the spiritual family that follows the Savior. Now you understand a little bit about what Christmas is. I only know of two people here, they're sitting together, that were alive during D-Day, June 6, 1944. Who was alive during D-Day? Martha? And Ralph. Huh? D-Day? Where, do you remember it? We were alive, but we don't remember it. Okay. What was D-Day about? What were the Allies doing? They weren't liberating anything at that point. They were working toward liberation. D-Day was a counter-invasion of occupied territory. Now you know what Christmas is. When the angels sang, and everything that went on at Christmas, it was part of God's plan in this great mystery to start the counter-invasion against the occupying forces of this fallen angel. And it was God's announcing that the beachhead had been formed and that the Messiah, the seed of the woman, would defeat Satan. Now I'm going to ask Willie to show you that this isn't so weird. Colossians chapter 2. 14 through 17, Willie. Colossians 2, 14 through 17 talks about this counter invasion.
14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle or display of them, triumphing over them in it.
16. Keep reading through 17.
So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbaths. 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ.
There you understand, Christmas is D-Day. When God counterattacked this great spiritual mystery that has been going on with Jesus dying on the cross, what happened to that fallen angel? What does it say in Colossians? He was disarmed. Now we do know it ain't over. Did you hear about the precious Japanese soldier from World War II? They were taught you never surrender. You die for your country. And decades later, they found that man in the jungles of some island still fighting World War II. Was it the Philippines?
Yes.
That means this. Christmas is the D-Day counter-invasion. Christ's crucifixion was the conquering of Satan, but he still refusing to surrender. And there's coming another battle to wipe out the remaining forces. This is a great mystery, isn't it? The packages, the garlands, the wreaths, all cover up one of the greatest mysteries in Scripture. That if we could see into the spiritual realm, which is a real realm of principalities, that's why Paul said we wrestle what?
Not against flesh and blood.
It all goes back to Genesis chapter 3 and before that, when an amazingly powerful, intelligent creature instituted a rebellion against God. God then instituted the good news of the first gospel, that the seed of the woman, the Messiah, Jesus, would... Notice what it says here in Genesis chapter 3. He shall bruise you on the head. That Luciferian creature would bruise the seed of the woman. How do you think the devil bruised the seed of the woman, Jesus? Well, we were in Acts. What'd they do 70 days before with Peter and John healing? What happened 70 days before? They killed Jesus. But guess what? A bruise is not a fatal wound. What did Jesus do? Rose from the dead. But look what it promises that will happen to this seed of the serpent. But he, the Messiah shall bruise him. Excuse me. He shall bruise you on the head. I've got that mixed up in my mind, which I should be paying attention to. The bruise on the heel is what The bruise on the head is fatal. How do you think Jesus will fix and institute a fatal head wound against this angelic force? He's going to throw the devil into the lake of fire. The devil, though, Satan, will bruise Jesus on the heel. How do you think he did that? Through the crucifixion, but Jesus rose from the dead. So what do we celebrate with Christmas? We celebrate God's counter-invasion of occupied territory where Satan, Lucifer, and his angelic forces are defeated. The resurrection is where the Messiah, Jesus, fatally wounded Satan. What did Colossians say? He was defeated. But this story is not over. For the seed of the serpent will eventually result in the beast. And then in Revelation 19, what does Jesus do? The seed of the woman returns. And through the breath of his speech, he destroys all that the Luciferian forces in this world have attempted to do. There's a great mystery to all of this, more than we realize. Two families. By the way, the conquering of the Messiah and the suffering of Messiah are seen in these verses. The Messiah will be what? Bruised. So there is the suffering of the Messiah. We'll talk about that next week when I get back to Acts. There are two things to the seed of the woman: suffering and conquering. And this verse has it all. Jesus will be bruised. The seed will be bruised. But guess what? That seed will institute what? A fatal head wound of conquering when it's all over. Great is the mystery that we are involved in.